parsha by Yelech, we're going to talk about this pasuk Lamed Aleph Yud Dalet. Sayomar Hashem Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Kain Korbu Yomach Lamus. Behold, really the truth is, I don't like the word behold. We'll call it out as, right now, your days have come close to dying. Cross Yoshua Bisatsu to the Ol Moed, Da'atavenu. Call Yoshua, stand him in the Ol Moed, get him ready in the Ol Moed, and I'm going to tell him what he's going to do. Now, in simple pasuk shot, we wanted to learn this pasuk in pasuk shot. The Ibn Ezra says, this means every person has a set time they're going to die. You have a certain time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into your neshama, programmed into your neshama, that you are going to expire on such and such a date.
How does that explain people like,
It explains, the explanation is that physically a person could die at a set time. Now it's possible that if he davens, or another schus happens, connects to Hashem, he can live longer than that. And it's possible that if a person sins and does something wrong, that you can live shorter than that. But the basic idea is your physical life is already set when you go. I just read an article today, on somewhere that said that physically speaking, it looks like it's impossible for the human body to live past the age of 115. And I'm going to go to 120 on that one. That it's almost like this. They saw there's a rise in the age, the life expectancy from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and 90s, and then it just peaked. Like, where the highest level of centenarians, which are people that live over 100, are living right now. The highest percentage of people that have ever been, that has been this way, or at least, you know, in the last, like, couple hundred years, in which they say that it's almost impossible for our physical bodies. I'm not talking about the people before the Mabul. I'm not talking about the people that were living right after the Mabul. I'm saying for our physical bodies now to be a little bit longer than that. And that's what Ibn Ezra is saying. We're all around the same age when it comes to that. You could live a little bit longer, but that's the idea, that Moshe Rabbeinu could have davened, could have done a little bit more. Hashem wouldn't accept his tefillah, so to speak. But that's the idea. Rabbeinu Bachaya says as well, and he calls this mazel. The mazel of a person says how long a person is going to live, even though you can certainly live longer if you do well or you do badly. There's certainly that could happen. And he gives examples of this from the Gemara, from Tanakh. Rabba and Rav Chisda. Rabba and Rav Chisda were both great men, yet Rabba lived a very short life, 40 years. Rav Chisda lived to over 80, even though they were very similar in temperament and the ways that they learned Torah, etc. Chizkiah and Achaziah, the son of Achab. Chizkiah lived a shorter life than Achaziah, son of Achab, even though one of them was a big tzaddik, one of them was not. Yeah. It's true. A Jew can certainly live longer, but there certainly is a certain amount physically that you're supposed to live, and that's what it means by mazel. A mazel yisrael is that a Jew can always overcome it, become better than it, and not you're not ruled by your mazel the way that other nations are. We have the ability to do more than that, but that's the parshat shot in this pasuk. Hein korbi makolamus, Moshe Rabbeinu, physically speaking, you can't live longer than this. There's nothing else you can do. Obviously, yeah, that's an exception, because physically he could have lived longer, but he decided to take his life. That's going to make it a little bit different. Exactly. Not a mental or emotional thing, so to speak. The Targum Yonasan, Yonasan Mizil says, there are three tzaddikim that it says by them, their days are close to death. Anybody have any idea who they are? Three of them where it says the words, Korbu Yamachalomus, your days are coming close for you to die. Moshe Rabbeinu is one, obviously. Very good, guys. I'm proud of you on that one. Give me the other two. Who are the other two? One is in Chumash, one is in Nach. Dovid and Melech is good. Dovid and Yaakov. Very good. David, Yaakov, and Moshe. By all three of them, it says, Korbu Yamachalomus, or he was saying about himself, that my days are coming close to dying. That's what Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel says. Now, each one of these three, says Miamloes, were people that did not die. Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis is a Gemara in Tainus Hayamad Beis. Yaakov Avinu never dies. It's a drush that Yaakov Avinu never dies. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David Melech Yisrael is somebody who lives forever, so to speak. And Moshe Omeid U'Meshamish B'Marom. Moshe Avinu lives today. He's Meshamish up in the heavens. That's the idea behind it. In fact, by the way, the line David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim hints to all three. David Melech is Moshe, Yisrael is Yaakov, Chai V'Kayim. All three of them are people that lived forever, so to speak, and not there. Now, the idea is that each one of them never really died. They were just no longer allowed to be in this world. Their physical life in this world were gone, but they never really died. Somehow, spiritually, they're still living. Somehow, there is an effect that they still have on earth, unlike everyone else. Yaakovinu is still around, so to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu is still around. David Melech is still around, just not in the same way as it was before. Yeah.
What is it about Eliyahu HaNavi?
Eliyahu HaNavi is a little bit different. That's a good call. Eliyahu HaNavi went to Gan Eden alive. Chanuk went to Gan Eden alive, whatever that means, in which they didn't really die in the first place. These three are dead for all intents and purposes. The Pasuk says, Vayamas Sham Moshe. The Pasuk says, Vayosef Alama, Vayigba, Vayosef Alama, Vayakov, you know, by David Melech, it definitely says that he died, but it's Ki'ilu, they didn't die. Korbu Yamech Lamus is the difference. Another thing that you have to notice, yeah, what's up? See, that's going to work. I'm going to work on that. Give me 1 second on that one. I'm going to try to talk about that a little bit as well. And then you have to ask, at the very end, there's another thing that's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu's father was Amram. Amram lived to the age, does anybody know how old he was when he passed away? It is a pasuk in the Chumash that he lived to the age of 137. It's in Parshas Vayera. He lived to the age of 137. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live as long as his father. David Melech lived to 70. His father Yishai, according to the Medrash, lived to the age of 400. But let's assume that was an exaggeration of some point. Let's just say that he was very old. Very, very old. That means that Yishai lived longer than David Melech. Not that they were alive when their son died. That's not what I mean. I mean, their length of years were longer than their child's. Yaakov, you know, his father was Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived to the age of 180, while Yaakov lived to 147. All three of these people, right, did not live to the age of their fathers. And yet they still lived full, great lives. And maybe that's also what's hinted to over here. That's something the Amaloi says it as well. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh understands Hain as Hashem agreeing to Moshe's words in the beginning of the Parsha. In the beginning of the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu goes around by Yelech Moshe, and he tells everybody, I'm done. It's over. I'm going to die. And that's what he says, right? I'm no longer able to go and come. And even though Rashi says that doesn't mean what we think it means, that he's too weak because he's very, very strong. Nonetheless, he assumed he was dying, and Hashem said, Hain. What does the word Hain mean in Aramaic? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to die. So it's not Hain as in, behold, you're going to die. It's Hain as in, I agree. This is what's going to happen. Your life is almost up. Parts by your feet. Yeah.
You said that the Yaakov Moshe and Dom, their spiritual is still here, but doesn't it apply to all Sadiqis?
Yes and no. There is something different. Check out the Ramban at the very end of Parshas Vayechi. That Ramban is one of the strangest Rambans out there. But that Ramban explains there's something different. Different. Interesting you use both of them, but yes. Yaakov, Moshe, and David are a little bit different. Those are the three that I would say are very, very different from the others. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi says something crazy. The Yaakovinu knew how many days he had left in his life by counting the sparks of his soul. Apparently, your soul is made up of sparks, and every day is a different spark. And if he sees how many sparks are left, those days that he hasn't yet used, you can tell how many days you're going to live and how many you're going to die. Yaakov was able to count them up and see when he was going to die. And that's when he told Yosef, behold, I'm going to die. That's what he meant when he figured that out. And so too Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to figure out when he was going to die based on the amount of sparks that he had over here. Now, Moikot, this Ephraim gets to what you were saying. The word Vayigva is used, according to the Medrash, to describe how a person is dying, but not necessarily dying in that way. Meaning he has a stomach ailment, and the stomach ailment hurts him so badly that he is suffering until he actually dies. In Moikot and Kofchas, we learn from this phrase that a normal person dies. I'm sorry?
What is that?
Vayigva. Gevia. Right? That a normal person dies after being sick for 5 days. And we learn it from this pasuk. Hain is one. Korvu is two. Yamecha is another two. And that's 5 days lamus in which a person dies. Tosis asked there, how can that be? We don't see anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu was sick before he died. Where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was sick before he passed away? Torah Tumima says, we have to assume that he was. Because if the Gemara learns from here that we have 5 days before you die and that you get sick 5 days before you die, it must be that Hashem was telling him, like he's saying to his sick friends, it seems you've been getting sicker this whole time. The illness is just getting worse. Hain korvu yamech lamus. It looks like you're getting sick enough, so we have to work on your successor. Let's see who's going to take over. Bring in Yoshua. That's what it seems like over here. Now, I personally think we forget, especially when you've been in yeshiva for a long time, what it means to actually be sick enough to not have to go to work. Paul, you're working right now. How many days have you taken off for sickness in the last couple of years?
Two or three altogether? Right. So all yeshiva guys here, if it's been two or three this past week, and it's been Rosh Hashanah this week even, okay, then I would hear that. You know, it's different. There's no such thing. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu may have been sick for 5 days, and yet nonetheless, he still did what he was supposed to do. Because you forget what it's like that, like, yeah, I'm sick. So what? I have a job to do. Like, a leader of Klal Yisrael doesn't get sick. I don't know. I'd like to actually look this up, except for, you know, Hillary Clinton. I don't know if, but I don't remember if there's been a situation where President Obama has been sick. I don't remember. Yeah, but I don't remember if there is. I'm not saying it that way. Hey, let's calm down with all this. But I'm saying, like, when you're dealing with a president of the United States, a king, a queen, they don't get sick. Or if they do, they make sure that it's not, that you don't find out about it whatsoever. I'm sorry?
Abbas is in the hospital right now.
Abbas?
Mahmoud Abbas, sorry.
Oh, it doesn't count. But either way, regardless, not like a real president. I don't mean it that way. Not a guy who's like, I don't know, who Hamas says is worse than a Jew. Pretty good, right? Hamas said that Mahmoud Abbas, because he went to Shimon Peres's funeral, worse than a Jew. That's the worst curse that Arabs can come up with. Unbelievable. That's one of my favorite ones over there. Anyway, the Paneach Razik gives a massive chiddush. And not only that, but he says, no, that he learns that dying after 5 days is a bad death. That's a Misa Chatufa. It's a bad thing. But since Moshe Rabbeinu was over 80 years old, therefore it wasn't a bad thing for him to die after 5 days. But he was sick for 5 days altogether, and it was a bad thing, but since Moshe Rabbeinu was old, right, it was okay. Now that's a total, I don't mean to say this, it's the Paneach Raza, he's a Rishon, but it's a total mess up of the Gemara that we have. It's a different Girza, that's not the text that we have in our Gemara. Either way, it's a Chiddush that the Paneach Raza says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did get sick for those 5 days. The Rabbeinu Ephraim are saying a little bit differently. The letters of Hain, are begging for you to die in a peaceful fashion. Why Hain? The Hay of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah and the Nun of the Nun Shari Bina. Moshe Rabbeinu, you wrote the 5 Chumshei Torah and you have the Nun Shari Bina. You're so powerful. Those letters want you to die now because this is the apex, the ultimate of your life. Now they're saying, now it's time for you to pass away. That's how the Rabbeinu Ephraim learns it. What's up, friend? Vayigva, but it doesn't say Vayamos.
That would make sense to say that he inspired or he spoke.
Correct. That's the line.
Moshe, though, when it says Vayamos, that means also that he was maybe.
We're being Mechadish now, that even though it doesn't say the word Vayigva by him, there was another type of death in which he died 5 days after getting sick from the words Hain Korvu Yamecha. That's what we're saying. Not from the word Vayigva, but rather from those lines. So that he knew he was going to die. And perhaps it was a different type of stomach ailment. Maybe that was a little bit different. I've always learned that the reason why Yaakov Avinu had to have Gevia before he passed away is because he knew that the Egyptian way of doing things was to embalm a person. Now, why do you embalm a person? Well, you have to do an autopsy and take out all the stuff out of the stomach and the intestines and everything like that. If he had a stomach ailment for 5 days before his death, everything was out of his stomach. So Yosef Kutaina, you don't need to do an autopsy on him. He got rid of everything in the stomach. You could just wrap him as is. So it was saving Yaakov, you know, from an autopsy. That's how I always understood it based on Rabbi Yonos and Eibschitz. That's why he had to have Gevia and that stomach ailment before he died. That everything was gone. What were you going to say?
What do with the brain?
The what?
The brain for Yaakov.
I don't know. That I don't know. It was just too big. Yeah.
This part of his life after the Torah was more apexy than after going up to
I will just say to you, the best raya to all this is Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu is 620 words, and it refers to everything that ever happened, ever will happen. It's like the greatest nevuah of all time. Even it's better than anything else that Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. So yes, at this moment, from Bayelach on, is the greatest nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu ever had. It's Hazinu and the final brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu to the people, which are totally not understandable, referring to things that we do not get whatsoever, talking about the future the entire time. So yes, I would say this is the ultimate of the powers of Moshe Rabbeinu being given. Yeah, David. Yes. Yeah. Gemara brachos yudchasim abeis. Just you got to read that. Learn that Gemara. The answer is yes, ish. Okay. Let's do it that way. Yeah.
Moshe must have been long enough to go up the mountain.
Yeah. In other words, how could he climb up the mountain to be able to go up there? It could be there was a different type of sickness, or Moshe Rabbeinu was just stronger than we give him for. We give him credit for. He was an extremely strong person who was able to do things that normal people cannot do.
He wrestled on 70 elders in Israel with the glucose.
Yeah, to be able to fight them. So it seems like he was just stronger than everybody else. Yeah. No.
Why do we send them to the war and stuff like that?
people get
We don't.
I know it's like religious Jews. They were by law had to do it by the government because the guy committed suicide or something like that.
Suicide usually you don't have to do an autopsy if you get a special dispensation from a rabbi. But either way, you don't. You
right.
can get you can get out of it. It just if somebody dies and you think he's getting an autopsy, then you should call me immediately. Okay, we'll take care of that. Yeah, go ahead.
How can we say this is the apex of Moshe's life if he was not supposed to die? Sorry. If he was not supposed to die right here.
The last day of your death is the ultimate in the powers that a person has. That's it.
Yeah, but this shouldn't have been his life.
Understood, but it is. Once he was dying, that became the ultimate of his life. That's the idea behind it. I'm sorry? Well, it is. It ends up happening that way. Yaakov Ruvaini talks about this idea that he's not really going to be dead, but that's something else. Okay, we're not going to go into that right now. I'm also going to skip. Well, we'll go through this. The Baal HaTorim points out through the Medrash how often the word Hain is used by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Here it's used to tell him that he's going to die. Hain, korbi yomachol amus, right? So he used it to praise Hashem earlier, and he said this to Hashem, Hashem, you're telling me that I'm going to die using the word Hain, but I use the word Hain to describe your greatness. Hain la Hashem elokecha shamayim ushmei shamayim, and perik yud pasuk yud dalet in Devarim. He said, perik yud pasuk yud dalet. Hain la Hashem elokecha shamayim ushmei shamayim. But Hashem said to him, but you also use Hain in a derogatory fashion. You said about Bnei Yisrael when you first took them on, Hain lo yaminu li. They will not believe in me. They will never believe in me. You use Hain in a bad fashion, therefore I'm using Hain for you in a bad fashion. That's how the Medrash puts it, and that's how the Baal HaTorim goes through. The Rush says, in the end, you'll get Hain for the Hain that you used in a good way. In a good way, I'm going to give you a throne of pearls. That's a good thing. I don't know if you've had a throne of pearls, but it's pretty good. And that's going to be, you're going to be teaching 550,000 tzaddikim on that throne of pearls. I don't know where that comes from, but 55 is Hain, so that's pretty good stuff. Or it's a hint that there's no okay, whatever it is, and that's that. But we have to understand that. What does that medrash mean? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I said Hain L'Hashem Elokecha. Well, you also said Hain L'Yaminu Li. That was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he said Hain L'Hashem. I said, just now, I said Hain L'Hashem Elokecha. That's how I feel about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hain is awesome. And you're taking 40 years ago, before I was even really a Navi, you sat me by the snet, and I saw, and I said, Bnei Yisrael are terrible people. They're not going to believe in me. They're not going to believe in you. And I was right when I first came to Mitzrayim. They didn't believe in me. And Hashem's like, yep, you shouldn't have said it. So what does that mean? How does that work? So the Kli Yakar says that Moshe caused himself to die. This is the awesome part. This is what it is. He suggested that Bnei Yisrael didn't have enough emunah. That their problem was that they never had enough emunah. So Moshe Rabbeinu's life had to be about strengthening their emunah. That's your life now, Moshe Rabbeinu. You feel that their problem is that they don't have enough emunah. But everything else is set by them. The only problem is that they don't have enough emunah. Then fine. You have to do something to make it better. You should speak to the rock instead of hitting it. Speaking to the rock would cause them to have more amunah. And when he didn't speak to the rock, he hit the rock and said, Hein lo yaminu li, so to speak. When you add that, Yan lohem mantem bi, said Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, because you didn't believe in me. You didn't cause emunah within Klal Yisrael. And that was the problem, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it is weird that Moshe Rabbeinu is still being kinder than something that he said 40 years ago. It's, to me, it's a strange chop by the Kli Yakar. But we have more. The Tosefta's Baruch on Tam Vidas says that Hain is used to connote a definite answer. Did you know that if you say the word Hain Hain, that's a shvua. You just swore. You know, if somebody asks you, like, hey, are you going to shul today? Yeah, yeah. That's a shvua, according to the Gemara. It's a possible shvua. Because you said it in a way in which you're saying, I am doing it this way. According to the Gemara, that very well could be a shvua, which is a good thing you're saying Kol Nidre and you did Hacharas and Dar not too long ago. But saying the word yes, yes, twice, Hain, Hain, twice, right, is a definite answer. The Gemara is using it for that way. When Moshe heard Hashem use the word Hain to describe his death, he knew there was no way out of it. Hain, behold, Hashem said, I know you're going to die. It's going to happen. It's a definitive. You are going to die. And to that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't understand. I use the word to describe your greatness. I know your greatness. Hain, L'Hashem Elokecha. I'm using it to describe how great you are, Hashem. And you're saying that I don't have a chance? Where's your rachamim? Where's the racham over here? Said Hashem, because you said that Bnei Yisrael wouldn't believe in me, listen to what that happened. What happens? There's something called a bris krusa l'sfasayim. Something happens by a person saying something. You caused Bnei Yisrael to be lacking emunah. You made them not have emunah in me. The fact that they were lacking in emunah during the 40 years of the desert is all stemming from the fact that you are a powerful person, Moshe Rabbeinu, and when you said Hein lo yaminu li in such a definitive fashion, you caused them to lose their emunah in me. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim says as well. And for that reason, I I can't forgive you. I can't get over that. The Rachamim was not there. You had one chance to be Metakenin through the main Meriva by speaking to the Rach, and when you didn't do that, you didn't get the Tikkun. Hein Lo Yamin Li goes through to be able to say, Hein, Korvu Yamech
Olamus. Why is it only coming up now?
Right now,
yeah,
it's his death.
Only died once.
Yeah, he would have died a second time. He's right.
40 years.
No, he's right. Most of it probably knew for the last 40 years what he had to work on, because he was working on Emunah the whole time. His mistake—I didn't want to say mistake by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the reason why it didn't work is because of what happened by Main Meriva, by the waters of Meriva. That's the only reason why it didn't work that way. Otherwise, it would have been perfect.
I think it's Midrash, not Gemara. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to argue the Shem, they let him go in at
yep.
reality. He davened once, davened twice, and
yep.
said, don't daven again, because then I'll let you do
yep.
it. That took place before this pasuk or after?
Took place before. That's in Parshas Vatzchanan. Yeah, that's
already,
the reason
he'd
why. He already davened and he wasn't accepted. Yeah, that's 100%. I'm sorry?
That's
the Askanan is the 515th tefila that he should have had, and Hashem said, Rav Lach. Right? Rav Lach. I don't want, I'll toast it, Dabar Elai Od Badabar Azad. I don't want you to speak to me ever again about this thing. Right? And that's the idea that he said, that's enough. That's that. The Maral Diskin says such a crazy shot. Now, you should know, there's a story that goes behind this. I'm not sure, because I read it in four different places. The Maral Diskin himself didn't say it this way, but that was the paper put together by, you know, his Talmidim. In two different places it says that he was giving this over where he said he was having massive fights with a lot of people that are coming to town and like testing them on Psukim and Midrashim and things like that. So two people came to town and came up to him, and the Maral Diskin said, oh, it's your first time in Yeshiva? Take out that safe over there. He pointed to a Medrash Rabbah. He said, open it up and find a Medrash, whatever you want, ask me, and I'll give you a brand new Chiddush on it. So Maral Diskin was brilliant. They say about the Maral Diskin that he was, I don't know if this is true, but they say about him that he's able to look at a tree, and he could tell you how many leaves were on the tree. So one time they asked him, they told me to ask them, and they said, and he looked at it and he said a certain number. So one Talmud, who of course was a nudnik, right? I would assume, Yechiel, this would have been you, right? He went ahead and he pulled five leaves off the tree, right? While the Maral Diskin was still walking. And then they turned to the Maral Diskin and they said to him, Rebbe, really, that tree has that many leaves? And the Maral Diskin looked back and said, no, I'm missing five. Like he was actually able to see. I don't know how that's possible, let alone true. I have no idea. But the Maral Diskin was supposedly this mad genius. And they asked him, and they pulled out the Medrash and this pasuk. And he said the following. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu countered with the Tainu to Hashem. You assume, God, so to speak, that I have to die. Because Ein Malchus no gas b'chaverta afilu k'malei nima. That if one Malchus needs to come up, if Yoshua is supposed to be king, then my Malchus can no longer be. My Malchus will have to end in order for Yoshua to be able to be king. But when Korach argued with me, listen to this Taina. When Korach argued with me, I wasn't a king that day because all the people were up against me. I lost a day because of Korach. I was supposed to be king for 40 years, and I was king for 39 years and 364 days because Korach argued with me, and that day I wasn't able to be king.
But just because you were a monk doesn't mean you're not a king.
That is a silly question. So now, all together, 39 years, 364 days, right? So we said, I get an extra day. Now, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's taina? Why is that such a smart taina? Because think about it. If he needs an extra day, that means he's going to have to live until Ches Adar, right? But tzaddikim only die on the day that they are born. So that means he won't be able to die then. He'll have to die the next
year.
If he dies the next year, within that year, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. If he goes to Eretz Yisrael, so Sardino. Once you go to Eretz Yisrael, if you have a judgment outside of Eretz Yisrael, then you go to Eretz Yisrael, you rejudge the person. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me live another day, i.e. another year, and that way I'll go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll redo my din, I'll build the base of Mikdash, and that way everything will be all good. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's really getting even more so. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, no. And that's how the Maral Diskin explained that medrash of what's going on. Because this happened with Hein Lo Yaminu Li, you don't deserve to bring the people inside. But his line was like this. But you say you lost a day because of Korach? You didn't lose a day. Why are you king, Moshe Rabbeinu? Is it because other people made you king? No. You're king because you're awesome. And you have unbelievable midos, and you're the greatest person to have ever lived and the greatest Navi. That didn't stop when Korach took you down. Korach took you down. If you were elected and Korach took you down, then you're right. That day needs to be made up. But you weren't elected. You were made king because you're awesome. You were still awesome on that day. You just weren't in charge. That's the idea. What's up?
It's just public opinion.
Yeah. if it's just public opinion, well, yeah, it would just be public opinion, but you were still king. In my eyes, you were still king, so you never lost the day. That's the idea behind it. The Ksam Sofer literally has 35 different explanations to this medrash. I'm not going to go through any of them. I'm just going to tell you, he has some awesome ones. I have one with a muscle over here, etc., but there are some unbelievable ones that are mentioned over there. In Sota Yud Gimel Beis, the Gemara says that this Shabbos was a dual Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua were both the leaders of the entire people. And it asks why Yoshua needed this introduction. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to bring Yoshua in front of the people and say, here's the Ol Moed, let's give him a Nebuah, let's bring it down, etc. Why did that have to happen? Yoshua was great on his own. He didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu to introduce him. Everybody knew Yoshua. Just remember, guys, I just want to make sure everybody remembers this. Yoshua was chosen to lead the war against Amalek 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he was the general that led the Jews against Amalek. 40 years ago, he was chosen as the leader of Shevet Ephraim, to go be the Meragil in Eretz Yisrael. He was the spy in Eretz Yisrael, and he's one of the two people that survived. He's one of the elderly statesmen, because remember, everybody else was dead. Everybody else was younger than 20 years old. Maybe there were a couple people that were older than 60, but most of the people were already dead. Yoshua was an older, more established, greatest Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was already chosen for greatness 40 years ago. So why does he need an introduction?
Sure.
What's the point? But what's the point of that? Why do you need that ceremony? What's the point of doing it? It says in its teeth, beautifully, beautifully. It's the most unbelievable thing. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the expert in Torah Shebichtav. Makes sense, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Torah Shebichtav. Yoshua's expertise was Torah Shebaalpeh. He took what Moshe Rabbeinu said, learned it, and taught it to the people, and gave it over to others. He was the moon to Moshe Rabbeinu's son. What's the pshat behind a moon? The moon, I know that sounds sweet and it sounds like a Hallmark card, I get it, right? But the moon is the reflection of the brightness of the sun. Everything's coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. The moon doesn't have anything on his own, but he's able to reflect it back and make sure that everybody understands it in a certain way. He was able to say, when Moshe Rabbeinu would say a cryptic line, which I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu said all the time, right? As a regular line in the Pasuk in the Torah. People are like, what did he mean by that? Yoshua was the explanation. Yoshua got up and he darshaned it in however many ways. He was able to figure out what it was. That's why in the Gemara in Chulin, that Kuf Chav Dalet, it says, even if Yoshua ben Nun would say that with his own mouth, I wouldn't believe it. It's like a line that they're saying, like, even if Yoshua ben Nun, what does that mean, even if Yoshua ben Nun said? Why Yoshua ben Nun? Because Yoshua ben Nun was the guy. He was the guy of the mouth. He's the guy that did Torah Sheval Peh. And that's the king at learning what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say. And that's the pshat. We know that the moon starts. It starts shining while the sun is still setting. Now, I'm not talking about the end of the month when the moon doesn't rise until the middle of the night. But in the beginning of the month, we all know, you can still see the moon in the sky when the sun is setting. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, ain't no moon. Even if there is a moon, you can't see it. The moon has no effect whatsoever. But when the sun is setting, that's when the moon starts to show. That's why Yoshua had to be shown, he had to be shown to the people, while the sun was setting, while Moshe Rabbeinu was dying. At that moment, we have to take up Yoshua and show him, look, there's Torah Shebichtav, and there's Torah Shebaal Peh. There's differences. You have to understand those differences. And that's the pshat. And that's why, during Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, Yoshua speaks up twice. Twice Yoshua speaks. And both times, he is shot down. Shot down. Does anybody know where he speaks up? Think about it. Where does Yoshua say something, and Moshe Rabbeinu immediately shoots him down? Like, he's not there. Like, stop talking. It's hard. Not by the Meraglim. We don't hear him speak by the Meraglim, which is interesting. We don't hear him speak. It's Kalev talking the whole time, and Yoshua adds on to what Kalev's saying. But where are the two? Think about it. Eldad and Medad. When Eldad and Medad went through the camp prophesying, Moshe Mes Yoshua Machnas. Moshe's going to die. Yoshua's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Parshat Baloscha. Yoshua gets up and says, Adoni Moshe Kla'in. My master Moshe, destroy them. And you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. He says, no. He says, oh, if only all of Bnei Yisrael could be like these two people. Like, Yoshua said something, and Moshe's like, get out of here. I'm not going to listen to a word you're saying. It's the second time. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, right? Yoshua is standing at the foot of the mountain. Moshe comes down, and he says, I hear a noise coming from the camp, expecting it to be something. And Moshe's like, no, you totally misheard. Ain't kolanos kavura, ain't kolanos chalusha, kolanos enochi shomea. Yeshua thinks he hears something, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. When Moshe Rabbeinu is the sun out in the air, Yeshua can't talk. Yeshua has nothing to say. He's the shamish in the base madrash, the guy just taking care of the seats, moving around stuff and stuff like that. That's Yeshua. You don't even notice him. When Moshe Rabbeinu is dying, that's when Yeshua comes to play. That's when Yeshua gets his real thing. That is such an unreal nitziv. Ali, you had a question before.
Not a question, but you need to establish
but they would have known that. And I think that's the point. They all knew where Yeshua was. And the Gemara in Erevin, that Yeshua was part of the leaders that were teaching them the Torah. So I don't think that was a Shiloh. I don't think anyone questioned who Yeshua was. Yeshua already, again, 40 years earlier, is the guy that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for in the Meraglim. He's the guy that stood on the bottom of the mountain. I don't think anybody had any question that he was the Talmud Mufluk of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua, remember, wasn't even married. He didn't even get married.
Okay.
There's no call, but that process was already done in Parshas Baaloscha when he put his hand on top of his head to give of his whatever the hod nesatzam mehod chalav. So that's already done. So we don't need that. So now it's more of a just a final like in front of the people showing them. The people should have known Yeshua for years now. That's what the Nitziv is saying. There should not have been any need for any ceremony. This should have been obvious from the get go. Yeshua is the next one in charge, and everybody should have been masking to it. Yeah.
Does the king explain all of it? Because you know first.
Erevin Nundalit, check it out. Erevin Nundalit, it goes through it. The Kanim is a word that's used colloquially, but it means like all the different people and their specifics of the Shoftim, etc. But it's really Yeshua, Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and then etc. Yeah, but there's a question where Yeshua fits in there. But check out the Gemara in Erevin Nundalit and check out the Rishonim there. Question where Yeshua fits in exactly. Now comes the Medrash Rabbah, that's possibly one of my favorite Medrash Rabbahs of all time. It technically is not on this pasuk; it's on the next pasuk, but it's one of my favorites. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Yeshua after he received his first Nebuah publicly. Yeshua got the Nebuah. You can imagine, like, he's standing outside the Ol Moed. There's a light shining down, like, oh, you know, and it goes down. Yeshua, like, is enveloped by the light, and it finishes, and Yeshua turns around. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately goes up to him and says, what was the word of Hashem? What did Hashem say? So what did Yeshua say back? He said, when Hashem spoke to you, did I ever ask what Hashem said to you? Right, that is an oh snap. That's a total oh snap. What kind of response is that? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu respond? He said, 100 deaths are better than one bit of jealousy. 100 deaths over one bit of jealousy. What is going on? Why would Yeshua? Yeshua's just like, oh yeah. Okay, well, he's nailing Moshe Rabbeinu? For what? For what? What are you doing that for? Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is already feeling bad that he's dying, and then Yeshua's like, I don't need you. I don't need you at all. Like, I never needed you. I was fine on my own. What kind of a... What does that? And do that to Moshe Rabbeinu, your Rebbe? Your Rebbe for 40 years? You're going to do that? The Gra. Quoted by the Chassam Sofer in Torah's Moshe. It's not... The Chassam Sofer says it from the Vilna Gaon himself. He answers, it was all to show Moshe Rabbeinu that it was time for him to die. The words of Yeshua that he said to Moshe were the exact words that Hashem spoke to him. Said Hashem to Yeshua, go tell Moshe the following words. All these years that I was your student and you were my Rebbe, did I ever ask you what Hashem said to you? Go say those words to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there's two ways of learning that. One way is going up to Moshe and being like, all those years, that's one way of saying it, right? I am sure that Yeshua went up to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Sanu, what did Hashem say? He's like, all those years that I was the Talmud, did I ever ask you what Hashem said to you? I'm sure that's how he said it. Because he was scared out of his mind to say it to his Rebbe. But that was the Nevuah. The Nevuah was just that. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu figured out. He realized he will never be able to be a Talmud of Yeshua. He always thought, like, maybe I could be a Talmud. Maybe Yeshua can lead the people in, but I'll just be a student to learn under Yeshua. And he understood from this, he will never be a Talmud. Yeshua will never be a Talmud. He is always going to be the person who's going to want to be the alpha male. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to want, and therefore he could not give in. That's the shot when he decided, better to have 100 deaths than one bit of jealousy of my students.
Why did you realize that he's done?
No, but he's still finding it hard to die. this was making it easier for him to accept his death. He knew he couldn't be king if Yeshua was dead. He knew he wouldn't be able to be a student of Yeshua as the king. That's the idea behind it. He accepted it more. Yeah. No. No, he did not. He got punished. No, Tumurat HaZayin. He got punished for saying no when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Is there anything you need to know?" To which Yeshua responded and said, "Is there anything that you taught that I didn't learn?" That's another thing. But that that statement is a strange statement of itself. But that's Tumurat HaZayin. That's a different issue altogether. But no, he was not punished for this line. No. But Klal Mishnah, you can't say that about Yeshua. But it's not that.
I mean, obviously comparative, you know.
No, not even comparative.
You know?
No, I'm just trying to keep you out of Gehenna. I'm just telling you. That's all I'm trying to do right now. That's it. There's a couple other answers that are saying over here, right? There's another from the Mayana Shel Torah over there. The Re'im of Ger says, based on Amos Gimel Zayin, when one Navi gets a Nevuah, every other Navi gets the exact same Nevuah. That's a halakha. Okay, so meaning, if let's say we're all Nevi'im here, and I get a Nevuah, every one of you would get the same Nevuah, but only I am allowed to say it out loud. Everybody else has to keep it to yourselves, but I'm the only one who's allowed to say it out loud. So said Yoshua to Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole time when you were a Navi, I'm also a Navi. So did I ever have to ask you what the Nevuah was? No. Why didn't I have to ask you? Because I automatically got it when you got it from Hashem, on a lower level, obviously. But I got it at the same time. The fact that I just got a Nevuah and you didn't get it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to have this Nevuah. That's what Yeshua was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Did I ever ask you? No, because I never needed to. So therefore, there's a message that Hashem is trying to send to you here. You're not supposed to get that Nevuah.
And
that's the aim of Ger.
If you weren't able to get the Nevuah for whatever reason at that time, they got it later? Or?
No. What do you mean?
Let's say someone was in Besimcha, Nevi was in Besimcha at the time. That
you had some dream, something would happen at that moment for you to get it.
Even if you weren't Besimcha.
Yeah, yeah. Or you missed it out completely. You missed it out completely, yeah. Because it said Moshe Mace. He didn't want them to say that.
He got it also.
Not at the time. I don't think he really knew. I don't know if he knew that he was going to be the next one to lead it in. And it's kind of influence.
No, he knew that it was on the Nevuah. I was mad because he didn't have to say it out.
Oh, meaning if he got that Nevuah of Eldad and Medad,
right?
Maybe he translated it a different way.
Was he Nevi at the time?
It could be. But maybe he translated it a different way. Maybe he understood it in a different way. Remember, there are different ways of translating Nevuah.
Maybe
he understood it something different. Maybe he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Yeshua brought it in. So he understood that Yeshua was going to be an unbelievable Talmud. Maybe not that he was going to bring in Zarek. So it could be that way. I will say, all right, this is Rechaim Knievsky, but I'm going to skip over here because we're running out of time over here. Skip that Miam Lois. I'm going to go through something else over here. I will say, there's an unbelievable story with Diane Ehrenberg. If you want to see him, there's a Lino Shabbat on the sheet itself. The Medrash Rabbah says here that Reb Shimon ben Chalafta went to a bris and was eating there when the father of the child brought him really good wine. I'm just telling you, by the way, you know how old the wine was?
Well,
7 years. That's what the Medrash describes as really good wine. We're so spoiled. Anyway, he then promised Rabbi Shimon that he would drink the same wine at his son's wedding. He says to Rabbi Shimon Chalapto, this wine I'm going to save for my son's wedding, and I'm going to drink it together with you at my son's wedding. That's what he said. So Rabbi Shimon Chalapto later on went home after the meal was over, and even though it was night, he wasn't afraid of shadim, so he walked even though it was whatever, and he saw the Malach HaMavis. Now the Malach HaMavis, says the Medrash, looked mishunah. Doesn't explain itself. Looked different. He asked who he was. He said, "Who are you?" He said to the Malach HaMavis, because he didn't recognize the Malach HaMavis, even though obviously he would recognize the Malach HaMavis normally. But he said, "Who are you? What's going on here?" The Malach answered, "I am a messenger of Hashem." He said, "Why do you look this way?" He answered, "When people promise things that they can't deliver, like this guy saying that he's going to be at his son's wedding when he's really supposed to die within the next 30 days, then I look Mishunah. Then I look different." So what does that Medrash mean? That Medrash is in this week's Parsha. So if Sternbach and Tom Bedas explained it, and he says, the Malcolm Office has a job to do. He's here to do evil. But at the same time, death is a good thing for a person. Hinei Tov Ma'od refers to the Malcolm Office and his job. The fact that a person constantly thinks of death can be a good thing. Now I know depression is a bad thing, but I'm 37, oh my gosh, I'm so old. I'm 37 years old. I just turned 37. Okay? 37 years old. I'm more than halfway to the normal lifespan of a human being of 70 years old. So now it's really, I have to be thinking of Misa. Misa has to be on my mind. It's got to be there. And in a way, that's a good thing. Because I don't do crazy things because I'm constantly thinking, but I might die soon. That's an idea that's there. Now again, if you're depressed, this is not the thought you're supposed to have. The thought you're supposed to have is a little bit better. This is a very depressing thought. But the concept is that I'm supposed to be here. Now this malach, the malach hamazon, is there to remind you of your demise. At this feast, when these people are sitting and eating, and this guy goes up to Shimon Chalapta in such a great mood, and he says, right, this is what's going to be. I'm going to live till my son's wedding. Shimon Chalapta should have said to him, do tshuva, because you never know when your day of death is. Now, I know that's a killer at a party, right? Probably not the best line to say when you're walking around standing with your little wine. You're like, you might die, you might die. I know, I realize that's probably not the best thing. But Shimon Chalapta was on the level that he should have said it. When he didn't say it, people didn't learn that lesson. And for that reason, this guy didn't learn the lesson that he should have learned. He didn't do tshuva properly, and he was going to die within 30 days. That changes the appearance of the Malach HaMavis. No longer is he able to do good. Now, the result of the Malach HaMavis is only bad. This is something that was always on Moshe's mind. He was always working on himself for it, and that's what the pasuk was telling us here. Hein korvu yamecha lamus. Your days are coming close to dying. Moshe Rabbeinu was always thinking that his days were close to dying. He was always considering, I might die today, and doing tshuva for tomorrow. That's what the message is trying to say. Wait, fine, yeah, what are you going to say? That's when you have to seriously do real stuff. But you always should have some type of thought, even if it doesn't have to be a constant thought, within 5 years of either one of your parents' deaths, right, of when they died. If they died at age 110, so you'd have to do it at age 105, right? That's the concept. So yes, that's when you have it in that sense. No. You have to have a thought that goes in your head often, that when you're having too much simcha, you have to remember, but is this the point of life? That's the idea. At the same time, 5 years within chas v'shalom, a person's parents' death, right? Within those 5 years, then you have to take life very, very seriously. Then it gets a little bit more serious, because then you might be coming close to something. You hear what you're going to say? You always have to. No. Obviously, we are living in this world, so you got to plan for these types of things. On the other hand, you also got to be careful, and you have to say to yourself, what do I know, what do I not know? What do I have to take care of? What do I not have to? These are things that each person has to take for themselves and be able to say. But I'm going to end with one unbelievable medrash. Chaim Kanievsky says in Tanya Krah, a medrash that Moshe made another claim to Hashem. He said, my mother Yocheved has already seen her husband and two of her children die. How can you let her see her third son die as well? Her third child die as well? So I read that, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky says the same thing. Yocheved was the one who was born when they first came down to Mitzrayim, if you'll remember. Right? She was born at the walls. At the walls as they entered. That means that Yocheved, if she's still alive now, she's 250 years old. And Moshe Rabbeinu is using this as a taina. You don't want my mother to see all three of her children dead. You don't want that, right? That's absolutely unbelievable. So Zayis Ranan says it shows that the dead know what's happening in this world. That Yocheved was already dead. I don't know. That's the Zayis Ranan. I definitely hear it. But the Seder Olam and Perek Tes says that Yocheved actually came to Eretz Yisrael. Yocheved was alive. It's just hard to say that Yocheved was 250 years old. You're right. It's just hard to say. It's hard to say that it's there. I'm sorry? We don't even know. We don't have any depth. We have no number for her age either. It is interesting. If you remember, Yocheved was much older than Amram. Amram died at the age of 147. Now we have a question, 137, I'm sorry. We don't know exactly when Amram died. Okay? But the assumption is that he died at some point during the Midbar. Let's say toward the beginning of the Midbar. Let's say something like that. That means, again, when they left Mitzrayim, let's say Amram was 135. Well, Yocheved was 210. That makes her 80 years older than Amram. 80 years. Now that is solving the shidduch crisis in one of the greatest ways possible. Yeah, that's unbelievable. He married somebody 80 years older than him, 75 years older than him. That's crazy.
129?
Yeah, 130. Yeah. 130. The Ramban talks about why that miracle is not mentioned in the Torah. Right. That's exactly it. 130.
Like
80? No, her first child would have been at the age of 123. And then 126, and then 130. It's unbelievable. That's exactly the Ramban's point. Why isn't this mentioned in the Torah if it's older than the Sarah? We'll stop with this for right now, though. I don't have an answer to the Medrash. It's just an amazing Medrash.